Well, it is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You know, it's a day of celebration and happiness, but for some, it may be a day of sadness or even reflection if your mom has gone on to be with the Lord. But you know, in here this morning, there's mothers and there's grandmothers, and there's bonus moms and stepmoms. You know, there's ones who maybe you don't have your own children, but you're influencing other people's children. And maybe there's ones in here that your mom has gone on to be with the Lord, or even individuals in here that you're still praying and believing to become a mom. You are all equally important, and today we celebrate each and every one of you. You know, I came across a little poem, and it's humorous but true all at the same time. I want to read it to you. It says, "You know you're really a mom when you count the sprinkles on each child's cupcake to make sure they're equal. You hide in the bathroom just to be alone." I think all moms in here have done that. "You have mastered the art of placing food on a plate without anything touching. You read that the average four-year-old asks 437 questions per day, and you feel delighted that your child is above average." "You say at least once a day, 'I'm not cut out for this job,' but you wouldn't trade it for anything in the world." Amen. I thought that that explained motherhood in a nutshell. You know, several years back when my boys were young, you know, and when your children are young, you know, motherhood is often a day-to-day struggle just to make it through the day. And so I wasn't feeling like the best mom in the world, and I was pretty hard on myself and putting a lot of pressure on myself. And so that year for Christmas, my boys got me a bracelet, and it had a saying on it that impacted me so much. It was a quote from somebody, and it said, "There is no way to be a perfect mom, but there are a million ways to be a good one." Amen. So today, I want to talk to you about a million ways to be a good mom, letting go of perfect and leaning on God's grace. You know, there is so much pressure to be perfect as a mom. You know, you can scroll through social media and look at everybody's highlights of a day spent with their children, the summer fun with their kids, and all of a sudden, you feel, "Oh, I'm not doing enough with my children. I'm not meeting up to the social media highlight reel." And then, of course, there's the Pinterest-worthy birthday parties. You know, those moms that are really annoying, that like even make the straws that go into their kids' drinks for the birthday parties. And you think, "Oh my goodness, I'm not crafty. I don't decorate well. How can I compare and make my child have a Pinterest-worthy birthday party?" And then, of course, there's the promposals. If you don't know what those are, because I didn't until my boys had to do one. But basically, as a teenage boy, you can't just ask a girl to go to a prom these days or to a dance these days. It has to be a whole thing, a whole proposal, and you have to have a cute little words and a poster and candles and all kinds of things. It's exhausting. You know, and there's that pressure to be perfect. In fact, the American Psychological Association reports this very sad statistic. It says that 73% of moms report feeling that they aren't doing enough for their child on a weekly basis when comparing themselves to other moms. The sad part about that statistic is that 73% of moms are comparing themselves to other moms. And we all know that comparison steals our joy. Amen. You know, I remember many times when I was trying to do it all. I was trying to be the perfect mom and the perfect wife. And, you know, I worked full time and, you know, there was so much pressure. I wanted the house to be clean and the laundry all to be done and the books to be read as a bedtime story. And I found myself exhausted, tired, cranky at my boys and my husband, and nobody in our household was having very much fun. And I came across a scripture one day. It's in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I had not viewed it through the lens of motherhood. It says, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Now, I had read that scripture many times, but I never viewed that scripture in the lens of motherhood. You know, I began to realize in that moment that God's grace was all I needed to be a good mom. And that where I was weak in my mothering skills, that God could help me. And you know, I quit seeking perfection. I quit seeking being a perfect mom, and I began to seek the Holy Spirit's direction on how to be a good mom. And I began to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in my parenting. So today, I just want to share with you three simple things that I learned along the way that really the Holy Spirit taught me on how to be a good mom. And maybe in those lessons, you will find something that you can use in your parenting. So number one, good moms are faithful and not fearful. Good moms are faithful and not fearful. Amen. I love Proverbs 31:25 in the New Living Translation. It says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." I love that. You know, because as moms, there is so many opportunities to be fearful. You know, there's so many bad things that can happen. You know, you just look at social media, you look at the news, and it gives you 1,001 reasons to be fearful. You know, what if my child falls down on the playground and breaks their arm? What if my child is playing sports and gets a concussion? What if my child gets bullied and made fun of? What if my child's at summer camp and they see something that they shouldn't see? What if my child fails a class? What if my child gets in a wreck? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And it's so easily to let the what ifs of being a mom make us parent out of fear instead of faith. You know, it's easy to not let our children go places or do things because of that fear. But what's sad about that is it's robbing your child of a life of learning to trust God. You know, I struggled with this, so I know how easy it is to be fearful instead of have faith in God. You know, when my youngest son turned 16 and he was driving, I got the call from him the one day that no mom wants to get. I picked up the phone, I said hello, and he said, "Mom, I'm okay, but I've been in a really bad wreck." And you know, your heart just drops. And so I said, "Where are you?" So my husband and I got to him really quickly, and he had literally been T-boned in his car door. And in that moment, instead of letting the faithfulness of God, of how he protected my child, and I mean, literally, his car was totaled. It was awful. And it was right on his side, on his car. Instead of saying, "Oh, praise God, God was so faithful and protected my child," I let fear enter my heart instead of faith. And you know, every time, for a long time until I grabbed a hold of it, when my phone would ring and from my son, my heart would immediately start beating hard. And I was scared. Is this the call where he's been in a wreck again? And I'd be like, hello, hello. And I was always relieved when he was just calling to say hi. But I realized that that fear grabbed a hold of me and it started to affect me. It started making me not want him to go places and drive places. And so I had to turn that over to the Lord and say, God, you love my child more than I even do, which is unfathomable to me. But you do, and you protect him, and you keep him when I can't be with him. And I had to turn him over to the Lord so that I wasn't parenting out of fear. You know, I think about Moses' mom in the Bible, Jochebed. I'm not going to take the time to read the story, but if you want to, it's found in Exodus chapter 2. And so Jochebed was Moses' mom. And at the time when Moses was born, there was a decree to kill all of the males that were born. And so Moses' mom hid Moses for 3 months and knew that she couldn't protect him any longer, that she had to turn him over to God to protect him. And so what she did was she built a basket just out of reeds, right? Out of leaves. Probably not a super sturdy basket, you know, out of leaves. And she placed her 3-month-old son in this basket made of reeds. And she placed it in the river. And she said, God, I can't protect him anymore. I can't be with him, but you can. Think about the faith that that took. I mean, to put your 3-month-old baby in a river where there's current, I'm pretty sure there was like alligators, you know? I mean, if the baby moved, it could just flip right over and the baby could drown. Can you imagine Moses' mom, everything going through her mind? Yet she chose to trust God because what she knew was that God loved her child more than she ever could, and God would protect him and be with him. Well, and if you read the story of Moses, you know that Moses was a very important individual in the Old Testament. But think about the faith that that took. You know, over in 1 Peter 5:7, I want to read this in the Passion Translation because I love what it says. And if you struggle with fear, if you struggle with parenting out of fear and not faith, I encourage you to read this scripture daily. It says, pour out all your worries and stress upon him and leave them there. For he always tenderly cares for you. You know, there is no better person to entrust your child to than God our Father. Amen. You know, if we parent out of fear and we're always saying, hey, don't do that. Hey, be careful. Hey, watch out. Something might happen to you. Oh, I don't know. That's too risky. Our child is going to internalize that, and that voice of fear is going to become the voice in their head instead of the voice of faith that says, God is with me. You know, I want to say this, fear-based parenting that constantly warns of danger teaches children to live expecting harm instead of trusting God's protection. Over time, it can shape their view of God as distant, reactive, or unsafe, rather than faithful, trust, and a trustworthy father. It's important that we don't parent out of fear because we don't want to pass on the message that our Heavenly Father can't be trusted. We don't want to pass on fear to our children. We want to pass on faith. Amen. Amen. Number two, another lesson that I learned along the way is that good moms are present, not perfect. Good moms are present, not perfect. You know, So many times as moms, we have so much going on. I mean, we're multitasking, we're juggling everything. And we might be with our kids, but we're not really present with our kids. We're physically there, but, you know, we're thinking about, oh my goodness, you know, I need to do the laundry and I got to clean the house and what am I going to make for dinner? And, oh, you know, my child's got, you know, science fair project due. We got to work that in and get that done. And, oh man, I've got so much to do at work. And you're everywhere but with your child. Or maybe there's the distractions of life. You know, maybe you're with your child at, you know, at the playground, and instead of interacting with them, you're scrolling Instagram. Yeah, you're physically there, but are you actually present with them? You know, God didn't choose a Pinterest perfect mom to parent your child. God chose you. God chose you. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be everything. You don't have to do everything perfectly. All your child really needs is for you to be present. You know, I call myself a recovering perfectionist because, you know, I do struggle with that. I want things to be so perfect. I want my children's life to be so perfect. I don't want anything to ever go wrong. I don't want them to experience, you know, one day of sadness or heartache or grief. But that's not biblical. Because Jesus said, in this world, we will have trials and tribulations, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so, by wanting everything to be so perfect, all it does is rob me of joy in the moments when I should be present with my kids. You know, my youngest son, he recently learned this from an executive in the business world. And this executive told him, be where your feet are. And so my son shared that with me, and I thought, wow, that is so profound. Be where your feet are. You know, be present. Wherever you are, be present in that moment. You know, I'll tell you something, especially you young moms. You know, I've always been a working mom. I'm very proud of that fact. And I've always done what God has called me to do. But I tried to be perfect in everything. And I tried to, you know, balance motherhood and working. And I'll tell you, there's not a balance. You just need to be where your feet are. Be 100% wherever your feet are. So when you're with your kids, be 100% in. If you're at work, be 100% there. There, the balance doesn't exist. That's a complete myth. But we don't have to be perfect. You know, your kids don't need a perfect version of you. They just need you to be available, to be attentive, and to be imperfect, just to be you. Presence leaves a legacy, but perfection leaves exhaustion. Presence leaves a legacy, but perfection, all it does is leave you absolutely exhausted. You know, it's okay to not be perfect. You know, if you want to look at an imperfect mom, you can look at the mother of Jesus, right? Let's look over in Luke chapter 2. This makes me feel, Mary makes me feel so wonderful about my parenting and her imperfection. Let's look at Luke 2. We're going to start in verse 41. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a whole day. Didn't know he was gone. A whole day, a whole 24 hours. When's the last time your child was gone for a whole 24 hours and you didn't notice? Thank you, Mary. Makes me feel so much better. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Mary didn't know where her son was for 3 days. You know, we're in good company. It's okay not to be perfect. And think about it. Mary lost her son for 3 days, yet God the Father specifically chose Mary to be Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, chose Mary that was imperfect to be his mom. So I think that you're going to do okay. Amen. Amen. You know, showing your kids how to navigate life when you mess up is an important and valuable lesson. You know, it's okay to talk about your mistakes. It's okay to let those things be lessons. You know, I never will forget, my older son was a teenager. And you know, how many of you, you know, moms out there, you kind of feel bad for your oldest kids because, like, we had no idea what we were doing with our firstborn. We were just kind of winging it, seeing what worked, see what didn't. And, you know, you feel kind of bad for them because, you know, you made a lot of mistakes with them. But, you know, it's okay. God's grace is there. Amen. But my oldest son was a teenager, and he had messed up. And so I was talking to him, and I just said, son, I said, you know, it's okay. When I was a teenager, and I shared with him one of the mistakes that I made when I was a teenager. And I never will forget what he said to me that day. He said, Mom, I like you even more now. And I said, son, why do you say that? He said, because I thought you were perfect. And the fact that you made mistakes, it makes me like you even more. You know, sometimes in our perfectionism and in trying to be perfect, we often pass on to our children that there is a standard that they feel like they can't live up to because nobody is perfect. We all mess up, right? You know, your kids won't remember the perfect birthday party, the perfectly clean house. They won't remember all the laundry put away. But what they will remember is if you were present with them or not. So leave behind perfection and be present with your children. Amen. And the last thing I want to talk about today is another lesson that I learned, and it was a huge, huge lesson for me. And that's number 3. Good moms are grace-giving, not guilt-giving. Good moms are grace-giving, not guilt-giving. You know, good moms model forgiveness and grace. You know, I'm so thankful that God doesn't condemn us when we mess up, but he gives us grace and mercy because we all miss it. We all mess up, right? And it's important that you model for your kids grace, compassion, and mercy. You know, we're not always going to get it right. Like I said, you know, firstborns sometimes get the worst of us. I remember when my firstborn was 3 years old and he was in the back of minivan and I had given him a package of Skittles and I had told him, like, hey, you know, wait, don't open this until we get to where we are going. We were going over to my parents' house and then you can have it there. Well, that was a really bad idea of me to give a 3-year-old a package of Skittles in a car and tell him to wait and don't open them. That was bad parenting, number one. And so all of a sudden, I hear he opened them. And when he was trying to open them, I hear Skittles just explode all over the car and like the little taps while they're crashing down all over my minivan. And I thought about the mess that I was going to have to clean up because I'm sure it went down into all the cracks. And I absolutely lost my mind. There was no grace. There was no mercy in that moment. And later I felt so bad and I thought, you know, he's just three. He didn't know. But in that moment, I wasn't so grace-giving, but I was more guilt-giving. What does guilt-giving sound like? What does that sound like in your parenting? It sounds like this. It sounds like saying, after everything I've done for you, this is how you treat me? I can't believe you did that. You should have done it this way. Anytime you speak the word should have to your child, that is a guilt message loaded with guilt. If you really cared about me or our family, you wouldn't act like this. Fine, do what you want, but don't come crying to me later. Those are all very guilt-giving messages. And here's what I need you to know. This is going to be on the screen if you want to take a picture of this and maybe ponder and pray on it later. Guilt-based parenting might produce short-term obedience, but it also produces long-term insecurity, resentment, and performance-based worth. Guilt-based parenting might produce short-term obedience, but it also produces long-term insecurity, resentment, and performance-based worth. You know, the underlying message of guilt-giving is this: I am only loved when I performed perfectly. My mistakes make me a disappointment. When I mess up, I'm not only responsible for my feelings, but for my mom's feelings as well, and I have to fix my mom's feelings. That's what guilt-giving messages say to a child. And you know, guilt-based parenting, it's most of the time just rooted in fear of losing control, fear of rejection, and fear of being dishonored. But God invites us, instead of parenting out of guilt, God invites us to parent out of grace. And here's why. Because guilt manipulates behavior, but grace transforms the heart. Guilt manipulates behavior, but grace can transform your child's heart. You know, over in Romans 8:1 in the New Living says this: so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. No condemnation. Also over in Romans 2 verse 4, it says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see his kindness is intended to turn you from sin? See, God uses grace to bring change, not guilt. You know, and as moms, we are called to do the very same thing. Please don't let your home be a place where failure is final. Let it be a place where grace abounds, where when a child messes up, where when you mess up, and they disappoint you, you extend grace and mercy. You know, what is grace-giving parenting? What does it sound like? What do you say when you're a grace-giving parent? It sounds like this: hey, that choice that you made, it really hurt me, but I still love you. I'm here. Let's talk through it and work it out. You know, hey, you made a really bad decision, but let's talk about how next time you can make a better choice. Or maybe it sounds like, hey, I've made mistakes too. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to try our best. Let's come up with a plan to do something different next time. You know, that's what grace-giving parenting may sound like. You know, the person that taught me most about grace-giving parenting was my youngest son. You know, my youngest son, he is kind of fiery. He's very, very stubborn. And, you know, he was challenging when he was younger. And so I never will forget, he was about 8 years old. And man, we were just having one of those days. You know, one of those days when, you know, you tell your child to do something and it's just constantly met with opposition. And, you know, he was just kind of cranky that day. And he was just being very challenging. It was a challenging day in motherhood. And so I had sent him up to his room to think about his behavior. And he came back down and he looked at me and he just said, "Mom, I'm really sorry. Can we just start today over?" And I thought, wow, that's so profound. Because how many times have we messed up and we go to our Heavenly Father and say, "I'm sorry," and He doesn't condemn us and "you should have done this" and da-da-da, but He says, "Yes, child, let's just start today over, because His mercies are new every morning." Amen. And so I looked at him and I said, "You know what? Yes, we can start over. Let's not think about it. Let's not focus on it. Let's just pretend like it's a brand new day." And that's what we did, and it was a wonderful day. But that taught me something, is that we can always start over. And I remember there was one day when I wasn't having a good day and I was really cranky at my kids for no reason. And the Holy Spirit stopped me in the middle of the day and said, "You're not doing the right thing. You're not parenting in the right way." And so I quickly asked the Lord for forgiveness, and I looked at my kids and I said, "Hey guys, Mom's not being a very nice mom today. I'm really sorry. Will you forgive me? And can we just start over?" You know what that did? It modeled for them what forgiveness looks like, but it also gave my sons an opportunity to give me grace. And because I had modeled for them grace, they gave me grace right back in return. That's so important, to not pass along guilt and shame, but to pass along grace and mercy and forgiveness. You know, moms, I want to encourage you today. You know, according to Psalms 139, God formed your child in your womb. He picked you to be your child's mom. He could have picked anybody, but He picked you. He looked at you and said, "She is perfect." And in case you haven't heard it lately, I want you to know, you are a good mom. You are enough. You do enough on a daily basis. Not because of all the things that you give your child, but because God is with you. And when God is with you in parenting your child, it's enough, and you are good. You're a good mom. So I just want to encourage you today, in the midst of motherhood, I want you to do these three simple things. I want you to, number one, have a heart that trusts God. Just have a heart that trusts God. You know, just let go of what you can't control, because let me tell you, there's so many things in your child's life that you can't control. Don't get anxious about it. Don't get fearful about it. But pass on faith. Trust God. Trust God that He's got your child. Amen. Don't model fear. Model faith. And then second, find laughter in the journey. You know, instead of trying to be perfect all the time and, you know, serious all the time and have everybody on the schedule, hey, find joy, find humor in the middle of the mess, because motherhood is super messy. And find joy in it, find laughter in it. Take time to laugh. When the Skittles fall all over the place, you might as well just laugh instead of getting upset. You know? And then lastly, leave a legacy of grace and love. Be a safe place. Be a listening ear. Be an open heart. Be a voice of hope. And above all, be a constant source of prayer. Moms, you don't have to be everything to your child. All you have to do is rely on the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you and guide you, and you will be a great mom. Amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to pray for all the moms today. Heavenly Father, we just pray for every mom in here. Father, help each of us to be a good mom. Help us to leave behind perfection. Help us to leave behind fear. Help us to leave behind guilt. And Father, help us to have faith and trust in You. Help us to be present with our child in every single moment and find joy in the middle of each situation. And Father, help us to model grace when our kids need grace, Father. Holy Spirit, just lead us and guide us. Help us to rely on You in our parenting decisions. Help us to focus inward and be a constant source of prayer for our child. And lead us and guide us in every single decision that we make, Father. And Father, help us to guide our children so that they will know how to follow You with all of their heart and fulfill the plan that You have for their life. Father, protect our children, watch over them, be there when we can't. Father, help them to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And Father, thank You that our children follow Your voice and not a stranger's voice. Father, help us to instill the godly principles of the Word into our children so that when they're old, they won't depart from them. Father, we surrender control, knowing that You are the ultimate parent and You are in control of our child's destiny. We give our children to You to guard and to keep and to watch over them all the days of their life. We love You, Father, and we give You praise and honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, before we go today, you know, maybe there's somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You've never given your life to Jesus and you want to do so today. Or maybe you say, I used to serve God, but I've gone away from Him and I am not following God and His plan for my life. And I want to surrender control of my life today. Or maybe you've given your life to God. Jesus is the Lord of your life, but He has another gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It gives you such power. And if you've never done that and you say, hey, I want to receive that heavenly prayer language today, on any three of those invitations, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to rededicate your life, or you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you'll just come on down here. Is there anybody in the room? Come on down. I just want to make sure that I don't close out to this today's service without giving somebody an opportunity to know Jesus. Is there anybody? We don't want to end too quick. This is the most important part of the service because your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Praise God. Come on down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Do you want to choose heaven today, to live eternally in heaven? You can miss hell today and make heaven your eternal home. Come on down. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on down, ma'am. Come on down. So good. Praise God. Anybody else? Come on down. It's the best decision you will ever make, to make Jesus the Lord of your life. He will change your life forever. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, guys, you made the best decision that you can ever make. Whether you came down today for a first-time salvation or rededication, or if you're already saved serving the Lord and you just want to receive your prayer language, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be an awesome day. It's a day that you will never forget. And I believe that you will get every single thing that you came down here for. I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And then afterwards, you're just going to go to a prayer room. It'll just take a minute. It won't take a long time. And there's going to be somebody that's going to find out exactly what you came down for. They're going to pray with you. And then they're going to give you some books so that you can understand the decisions that you made today. Okay, so let me pray for you. Congregation, reach your hands out towards these precious ones that are making such a wonderful decision today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious individuals that came down here today. Day, Father, and I just ask you that whatever they came down here for, that they will get exactly and receive exactly what they need today. And we thank you for their lives, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You see Pastor Greg and Christy right there? They're on staff with us. They just want you to go just super quick. I promise it won't take long. It's not scary. And just go with them. And they have some information for you. And they just want to pray with you, okay? So just go with them right now. Let's give them a hand, congregation. Praise God. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about people making Jesus the Lord of their lives. Amen. I believe every single one of them are going to get exactly what they came down here for. Well, Rhema Bible Church, it's been an honor to be with you today. If we have any first-time guests, if you will go with our connection team members right now out to our connection center, they just have a little gift for you. Our pastoral staff is going to be at the doors. Where they're going to be is on the screens right now. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Be back here tonight at 6 p.m. for another service. We love you guys. We'll see you tonight.